Greetings, dear ones, I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. Quickly it occurs, does it not, the transition between human being and one who is channeling a message from beyond. Perhaps a little too quick for those who would be in judgment about what is taking place here. What my partner did not tell you was that there is no transition. I'm always under the surface with him. That is his choice. To have the energy of the energy here. To be able to flip back and forth in his messages of love between him speaking and me speaking. And through the day, it creates an attribute where I am always on the surface. Therefore, there is no transition. And we say to you, human being, can you get to the place where there is no transition between you speaking and your higher self speaking? When you look in the eyes of another, whether you are healing, whether you're giving information for their life, whether you're just complimenting them in love, and out comes that which is not you, but is you. And you feel it surging through you in a way that you didn't expect. And I tell you, you've just channeled. For this is the way of it. That none of the scriptures of this planet were written by God, all of them written by human beings in a state of godliness. And all the scriptures written by those human beings, written through a higher self, which was unafraid, which was out of drama, which was in a perfect state. What I wish to speak about this day is difficult to define. I'll let my partner come up with a title for this channeling, for humans enjoy that. They want to know a compartmentalization of conversation. They wish to have some kind of an identity process on everything they do. And so I've let him do it. For what I'm going to do is talk about perception in a way I have not done before. I'm going to speak of perception of dimensionality like I never have before. For you're about to push in to a place that you did not expect. And I wish to give you some of the mechanics of it. And a little bit about how it works. And a little bit about what my partner calls the creation of the wild card. Those things which you don't expect. And I have to start with an example. Let me introduce to you Henry and Mary. They are cartoon characters. Stick figures on a piece of paper. They are two-dimensional. And that, of course, there is intelligence involved, and that, of course, becomes a parable. But it's here for a reason, for their lives are not complicated. They are simple. They have everything figured out. They even have love. And the two-dimensionality of their lives is all they have ever had. They are pleased with it. They know the parameters of the piece of paper they're on. They're happy with it. They know what they can do and what they cannot do. Along comes a free thinker, one who is drawn a little different. Speaking to both of them about the potential of a third dimension, the thought of up and down, the thought of a kind of reality that they have never seen. Now, what do? First of all, they don't understand it. It is a little too high-minded for them. Second of all, it's outside of their reality, so they're not really that interested. And they don't believe it. It becomes a fantasy of science, something that will never pertain to drawings on a piece of paper. And I would like to tell you, there are many of you who sit in the room that are just like them. Not by choice. Because you are part of a paradigm that always was. A paradigm in 3D that you have lived all of your life, and one that is difficult to break out of. The shift that is upon you is one of quantumness. It is going to require the human being to understand more about what is around them that is invisible, that they cannot see. And the best way I can do this, and the time allotted, is to take you on a couple of journeys, to give you some information, some things that might be interesting to some of you who love science, but those of you who could care less about those things will still participate in the analogy that I'm giving. Blessed are the human beings who sit in a place like this. I knew you were coming, you know. I know who's here. I know who's here. The higher part of you, which you call the higher self, isn't higher at all. It's just different. It's in a different dimension. And the irony of it is so great that the other part of you is a dimension you don't even believe in. And it sits upon you, desiring the connection that you could only give in free choice. And you're getting closer all the time. And that higher part of you is in connection with me all of the time. I am Kryon. That is not my name. That is the name I give to you for now. So you remember, I'm a technician. Part of the physics and the magnetics of the planet. I've never been a human and I never will be. I am in service to humans. And so let it begin. I wish to take you to a place in your mind. It's real, but you can't go there. Not yet. Now, each one of you has been where I'm about to take you. Before you were ever human, we spent time here. It is unbelievable. The view is, shall we say, unearthly. I want to take you just outside your galaxy, looking at the spiral. Come with me for a moment. Pretend for a moment that the pressure of space, the temperatures, none of those things matter. You're in a protective bubble of mine. And all together we go and we watch. As a human being, you're struck with the silence of space. Not understanding or even appreciating the fact that every single star sings a song. I hear them all. Silence to you is a symphony to me. For the vibratory rates of the light that is emitted from the stars all combine into a chorus, a manipulance of sonority that is beautiful. The universe sings to me, for I am quantum. And the parts of you which are quantum are beginning to broach the three-dimensional parts. And that meld, that confluence, is going to create paradigms of thought which are different from any others on the planet. No time on the planet have you ever had like this one, where you're asked to think out of the box and broach the wall of your bias. Look at your galaxy for a moment. The beautiful spiral of it all moving together as one. I give you science today. I give you things that will only come about and be known in your future. And because of the transcriptions that are taken today, there will come a time when you will point to this particular message and say, he was right. And when you do, and when the science confirms what I say, I want you to look at the entire message. Because I'm right when I talk about your relationship to spirit, to the creator in you. I'm right when I talk about what is in front of you and your future. And the only reason I give you the science now is because your linearity and your bias will connect them in the future. As go one, goes the other, you'll say, therefore, I will pay attention. It's beautiful. In what you call the silence of this moment, looking at the galaxy moving so slowly. Unbelievable, unearthly, beautiful beyond words. Now I take you inside and tell you a little bit of what's happening. It is a mystery. There are odd things out here. They don't fit earthly paradigms. They don't fit physics either, not your physics. The two stick figures on the page had scientists also. The two stick figures on the page had two laws for physics. That's all they needed. Everything worked just fine. You have four. Because you're in another dimension. And they work just fine. Here's an esoteric question for you. How many laws of physics are there really if you're in 2D? Two or four? The answer should be obvious. There's really four, isn't there? Let me ask you this, three-dimensional creature that you are. If I told you they were six, how many really are there for you? We've given them to you in the past, and we tell you you should pay attention, because there's something going on where the other two laws of physics are not just physics. For when you get into an interdimensional realm, you're looking at a piece of more than physics. You have four laws now. Call them Newtonian if you wish, Euclidean if you wish, and Einsteinian if you wish. It brought you to where you are. Now gaze with me at your spiral galaxy for a moment and look at it move. It does not move like your solar system. The laws of objects in motion carry with them a three-dimensional bias. Your science looks for empirical laws, and they find what they believe is empirical, that is to say, it only works in one direction all the time in that direction, and you can apply mathematics to it and figure out what you need from that. all in a straight line, all forward, never changing, always the same. You might say your science is biased in consistency. And if you're a free thinker, you may say, well, that's okay. It should be consistent. Well, then how do you explain what you're looking at? Let me give you a further explanation. Your solar system works like you expect it does. In the kinds of physics that you have applied to the way things move in space, you have objects that are closer to your sun that move faster, like Mercury, for example, and objects where they're further away, where orbital mechanics based upon your physical laws make them move slower. The distance and the time from the sun develops into orbital mechanics of faster and slower objects based upon the rules you have discovered. And the rules are correct for 3D. It lends you, send spacecraft to the planets to be so precise, to meet them in orbit, to take pictures. And yet that's not the way your galaxy moves. If you're looking at it like I am, if you look at your solar system, Pluto takes a very, very long time to go around the sun. Mercury does not. And so you've developed these odd, singular attributes of the way things move in space. Look at your galaxy. Watch it spin. It's almost like it was on a platter. Everything moves together. Everything. It's all rotating at the same speed, relative to the center. Things on the outside moving faster, actually, than those on the inside. This giant platter, like all the stars were pebbles glued to it, it moves together. And that, my friend, is not in your physics. How can that be?
What are you seeing?
And now I will give you a hint and a clue. When we've talked about the weak and strong interdimensional force, which are the laws 5 and 6 of physics, it's all about what's at the center of the galaxy. You think it's a black hole. It isn't. Oh, that is indeed your description. There's more to it than you would imagine. Have you noticed in physics there's always polarity? Everywhere. Everywhere. There's always two. The twins are in the middle of every galaxy, yours included, the Milky Way. You've got two energies. One pushes, one pulls. You see it as one giant event called a black hole. You assume that the gravity of the black hole is somehow gripping that spiral and making it go together in an unusual fashion, which violates all the laws of Newton. It's not so. What's happening in the center of your galaxy is beautiful. It is an interdimensional force that spreads through the entire region of your entire galaxy that glues it together in a way that you do not have laws to explain. And that's what we broach. And this interdimensionality of your galactic center has consciousness. It has to. Anything interdimensional is aligned with creation. I'm speaking in ways you don't understand. Things that haven't really been broached in this way before. When you break the wall down from what you expect in a linear physics, you're going to run up against things that don't make sense. And they won't make sense not just because they're in a quantum state, but they contain something else something else.
Scientists are very proud of the Big Bang Theory. They have it all figured out,
they think.
But look at what they figured out. They have a timeline for it. How can you have a timeline for a quantum event? They've even figured out that there's a residue they can measure that proves they're right. How clever of them.
Not understanding. They're sitting still part of it. That's the residue they measure. It's active. It's still happening in a way.
How could everything have come from nothing? At greater than the speed of light and create a universe. Let me tell you something I have never, ever described to you before. The center of your galaxy spit out the matter that is you.
They have it backwards. The twins in the center of your galaxy lead to the twins in the center of all the other galaxies. Millions of them, billions of them. They're all connected in a way you cannot fathom, outside of space, outside of time, like strings between friends who have consciousness. Not the kind of intelligence and consciousness that you see in your brain, no. A benevolence instead that postures the universe in love. I told you you wouldn't understand all of this. This is high-minded, high-thinking. Let's go to something else.
Life on the planet, the way it was created, is controversial because there are those in science who must linearize it all. Darwin gave you the possibilities of an evolved life, how it would work perhaps in a random selection over and over through billions of years, creating what you have now. But then enter the Gaia factor.
Sciences are looking at this, and they're starting to see something very bothersome to other scientists. There may be a consciousness that has created life.
And the controversy goes like this, that life continued to be created on the planet through 4 billion years, and it started and it stopped, and it created itself and destroyed itself over and over and over. And some will say, well, that's a random event happening.
Really, life continued to happen.
What are the odds after life had destroyed itself of it coming back? How's that for evolution? Something that didn't work, returning.
What do you think about that?
Science is beginning to consider the Gaia factor. That is to say, a consciousness coming from somewhere, somehow, that wants to create life. It's outside of the purview of what you would call chance.
Over and over until it got it right.
Photosynthesis was the answer. Photosynthesis created the plants, the trees that consume the byproduct of life. And the balance began.
And it took a long time for that. But life was always created. Even when it was snuffed out, even when the earth was barren of life and it didn't work out, it created itself again up to 5 starts and stops. Science is starting to see them, wonder how it is that earth wanted to create life. Some saying there's a consciousness, some saying that that is not true. It couldn't be, couldn't be. There is. And it's an interdimensional consciousness that glues things together. Because when you get into an interdimensional state, you're starting to touch the face of God.
There are those who studied the way the earth geologically came about. And in their straight line thinking, they are biased. They are biased because they look at erosion patterns. They look at the way things used to be. They apply specific universal laws to everything on the planet. Well, there are some surprises. Have you heard the latest? How long did it take to cut the Grand Canyon? How many million years would the water have to trickle by in order to cut the canyon as it stands today? 1 million? 2 million? It's still posted on the placards there how long it took. But now geology is starting to change its mind because they have discovered other attributes that don't make sense. And now they're assigning a timeline of approximately 300 years. What they're now seeing is a wild card, and that is to say, there was no trickle of water. There was a sea that emptied into it. A ferocious torrent of water that cut the rock over a short period of time. Outside the paradigm of thinking, it is. And accurate, it is. You see where I'm going with this? It is those consistent biases that keep you in a rut. Like the 2D figures on the piece of paper. You've got to start thinking out of the box. I've told you some odd things. Geologists roll their eyes. I told you about Lemuria. I told you that the mountains, which are the highest mountains on Earth, measured from the bottom to the top, are Hawaii. They are one big mountain with several peaks. The peaks are what stick out of the water today, which you call the Hawaiian Islands. In the days of Lemuria, we told you that the land around the base was dry. Now, geologists laugh. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. How could that be? I'm going to tell you how it could be. The first thing is that 50,000 years ago, geologically, is not significant. And yet the water level was over 400 feet lower then than it is now because you were in the process of a water cycle, which we have discussed before. So that's one of the attributes. The other attribute is this that we have never spoken of before. The mountains of Hawaii move over what they call a hot spot. That is to say, tremendous volcanic activity always has existed there. In this particular case, something that has retreated from you, you have not seen since, and because you've not seen it, it can't be. And that is to say, a bubble existed. That is to say, the mantle of the earth bulged enough to lift those mountains higher than they are now to create a landmass that is no longer there. When the lava was released, and it was, the bubble went away. This took several thousand years. But it created a situation where the Hawaiian Islands were above the waterline for a while. Convenient it is that all the evidence of Lemuria has been destroyed, as it should be. It makes you wonder. It makes you trust. It gives you chance for faith that these things might be so. But a linear thinker will say they are not so. They're stuck in a rut of the way things have been and what they think they should be. And they cannot think anything other than that. Consistency is the king. And it's a bias. Let me tell you about creation. Astronomers are starting to talk about intelligent design. Now we're getting somewhere. They're starting to understand the quantumness of the universe might have consciousness. Against all odds, you live in a parameter, an attribute, that statistically is against all odds. A universe created for life. And if you could throw the dice of physics and create a universe through a big bang that you designed, it would never come up this way. Never. Out of the possibility of chance, it is, and you sit in an earth teeming with life. You sit in a universe teeming with life. There's life on the planets around you. You just haven't found it yet. Microbial. Beginning situations of even small-celled animals. It's all there. You'll see. Take a trip to Europa. Look around a little. You'll see. Life is absolutely the way of it everywhere. You'll see. And it's against all odds. It is so out of the statistical model of the creation of any universe that they have labeled it intelligent design. In the middle of your galaxy, the twins exist, pushing and pulling out interdimensional energies that literally have a divine complement, and all of the stars move together in unison with it. Forces beyond gravity. Interdimensionality that glues this together, glues it together. And that is something I want to speak of because it has to do with your future. And here it is. The futurists of your society have a tendency to look at what was and say it will then project what is. In a straight line, in a bias of consistency, they say, because of this, therefore, there will be this. They're looking at a consistent model of old energy. A consistent model. What is consistent on the planet of consciousness? Let's name them. War, poverty, suffering, drama. A repeat of the same. Fractals that come and go and come and go that create a consciousness that repeats and repeats and repeats. And if you're there, you're stuck in bias because in this quantum shift, you're starting to see the twins. This is an energy that pervades the entire galaxy. It does on all the galaxy. It is the hand of God. It isn't God itself. It is an attribute of what we would call the benevolence of physics that wants to create life and wants to put together a confluence of sameness of peace on earth. The more quantum you become, the less consistent you will be in these things. That is to say, you will expect things to happen that have never happened before. All of this science to get to a place where I could tell you that the bias of your thinking is so obvious. You cannot apply last year's rules to peace on earth. What do you expect? What do last year's rules tell you about healing in your body? They say it's incurable. It isn't. It isn't. What do last year's rules tell you about the fear that is being generated over the shift? That you're going to be recovered by water. Well, if you apply the rate at which things are melting and then you then apply them into the future, of course. But that's awfully consistent of you, isn't it? Do you see what I'm saying?
You're not giving any allowance for the wild card. You're not giving any allowance for the fact that this planet is moving into an entirely different magnetic attribute. The sun is cooperating. The universe is cooperating. It's almost like the twins can see who you are. The twins are physics. A magnificent pushing and a pulling of an attribute which we cannot even explain to you. Your science is only beginning to see it. The Gaia effect, intelligent design, the way the earth was put together, the way there were no accidents that you're here, that ought to add up to something. When we say you are in the middle of a tremendous shift that you've asked for, that it's time for, that I came for, and it's not one that's going to destroy you that you have to fear. It's one you're in control of. Because you can touch the face of God anytime you want. You're becoming more quantum. You're understanding that the consistency of life truly is an old paradigm. If you want to be consistent with anything, if it makes you feel good to be consistent with anything, know this, that the love of God is the most consistent thing on this earth and in the universe. Consistent it is. You're never alone. We've said that before. And this will conclude. We wanted to paint a picture today. It was partly scientific, partly logic. To show you that your logic is not the kind of logic you're going to need to move into the future. Expect the wild card. Expect things that have not happened before. How many times do we have to give you these things to look at? None of the quatrains of Nostradamus are accurate today. Books have been written about the tremendous upcoming war with Islam. Well, someday you can read them and laugh. Because it's not happening that way. You see, there are things coming that you didn't expect. I know these things. It's the consciousness that are under the hood that are working right now. This is not future fortune telling. It is stating the facts of the potentials of the minds on the planet, where they're going and what they're thinking. I want you to leave this place with hope. We saved this message for this particular group. It's an advanced message. It does not fall on the ears of those who are just here for the first time or in the energy for the first time. Don't you remember this? Remember this with me, for you expected it. Finally, this. I was with you at the wind of birth, each one of you, before you slipped into this planet, before the angels stood around the bed and sang to your mother the joy of your birth. I was there. Right before you came again, I inquired like I always do. Is this really something you want to do? Look at the potentials of the hardships and the disease, the sorrow of being human. And you looked at me like you always do and say, send me in. I can hardly wait to get back and finish what I started. And you'll do it again and again and again. The first signs you've ever had since you were a human being that this planet can move into graduation, vibrate higher, and become part of a confluence of energy that you've only dreamed about. And you're sitting on the edge of it, and you know you are. I am Kryon, lover of humanity. First one you see when you come back. You don't see me. There's no eyes, and yet we are all eyes. There's no sound, and yet we are sound. The most beautiful music you've ever heard, and you will hear it. And you'll remember the songs. This is the truth I give you today. In order to instill in your hearts and in your minds hope that these things are so and that they are true, and that your generation and what you do here will make a difference on the planet, moving on to the next generation, which will create peace. It's what we see, it's what we've always seen since the harmonic convergence. That's when it began. These things move slowly. You are the warriors in the fields holding the light. And that is the message of crying. It always will be. Crying, why do you always give approximately the same message with different words? Because you're human and you need to hear it over and over. And maybe some of you today will leave here differently than you came because of this. And so this particular message will be given again in a different form for different crowds, less advanced, perhaps. But every bit is loving and poignant. I am Kryon. And so it is.